Chapter 81. And hustlers with relays of horses are waiting by the roadside, gazing northward and listening for sounds. A few loungers have assembled. First postillion, he ought to be nigh by this time. I should say he'd be very glad to get this here Isle of Elba, wherever it may be, if words be true, that he's treated to such ghastly compliments on's way. Second postillion, blast me blue, I don't care what happens to him. Look at Joachim Murat, him that's made King of Naples, a man who was only in the same line of life as ourselves, born and bred in Cahors, out in Périgord, a poor little windling place not half as good as our own. Why should he have been lifted up to King's anointment, and we not even have had a rise in wages? That's what I say. First postillion, but now, I don't find fault with that dispensation in particular. It was one of our calling that the emperor so honored, after all, when he might have anointed a tinker, or a ragman, or a street woman's pensioner even. Who knows but that we should have been kings too, but for my crooked legs and the running pole wound. Second postillion, we kings? Kings of the underground country, then, by this time, if we hadn't been too rotten flesh to follow the drum. However, I'll think over your defense, and I don't mind riding a stage with him, for that matter, to save him from them that mean mischief here. I've lost no sons by his battles, like some others we know.
Enter a traveler on horseback.
Any tidings along the road, sir, of the Emperor Napoleon that was? Traveler, tidings verily. He and his escort are threatened by the mob at every place they come to. A returning courier I have met tells me that at an in a little way beyond here they have strung up his effigy to the signpost, smeared it with blood, and placarded it the doom that awaits thee. He is much delayed by such humorous insults. I have hastened ahead to escape the uproar. Second postillion, I don't know that you have escaped it. The mob has been waiting up all night for him here. Market woman,
coming up,
I hope by the Virgin, as a called herself, that there'll be no riots here. Though I have not much pity for a man who could treat his wife as he did, and that's my real feeling. He might at least have kept them both on, for half a husband is better than none for poor women. But I'd show mercy to him, that's true, rather than have my stall upset, and messes in the streets why folks' brains, and stabbings, and I don't know what all. First postillion, if we can do the horsing quietly out here, there will be none of that. He'll dash past the town without stopping at the inn, where they expect to waylay him. Hark, what's this coming?
An approaching cortege is heard. Two couriers enter. Then a carriage with Napoleon and Bertrand, then others with the commissioners of the powers, all on the way to Elba. The carriages halt, and the change of horses is set about instantly. But before it is half completed, Bonaparte's arrival gets known, and throngs of men and women armed with sticks and hammers rush out of Avignon and surround the carriages.
Populus, ogre of Corsica, odious tyrant, down with Nicholas. Bertrand, looking out of carriage, silence, and off your hats, you ill-mannered devils. Populus,
scornfully,
listen to him. Is that the Corsican? No, where is he? Give him up, give him up. We'll pitch him into the Rhone.
Some cling to the wheels of Napoleon's carriage, while others, more distant, throw stones at it. A stone breaks the carriage window.
Old woman, shaking her fist. Give me back my two sons, murderer. Give me back my children, whose flesh is rotting on the Russian plains. Populus, eh, give us back our kin, our fathers, our brothers, our sons, victims to your cursed ambition.
One of the mob seizes the carriage door handle and tries to unfasten it. A valet of Bonaparte seated on the box draws his sword and threatens to cut the man's arm off. The doors of the commissioner's coaches open, and Sir Neil Campbell, General Kohler, and Count Shuvalov, the English, Austrian, and Russian commissioners jump out and come forward.
Campbell, keep order, citizens. Do you not know that the ex-emperor is wayfaring to a lone isle, in the allies' sworn care,
who have given a pledge to Europe for his safety. His fangs being drawn, he is left powerless now to do you further harm. Shuvalov, people of France, can you insult so miserable a being? He who gave laws to a cowed world stands now at that world's beck and asks its charity. Cannot you see that, merely to ignore him is the worst ignominy to tar him with, by showing him he's no longer dangerous? Old woman, how do we know the villain mayn't come back? While there is life, my faith, there's mischief in him.
Enter an officer with the town guard.
Officer, citizens, I am a zealot for the Bourbons, as you well know. But wanton breach of faith I will not brook. Retire.
The soldiers drive back the mob and open a passage forward. The commissioners re-enter their carriages. Napoleon puts his head out of his window for a moment. He is haggard, shabbily dressed, yellow-faced, and wild-eyed.
Napoleon, I thank you, Captain. Also your soldiery. A thousand thanks.
To Bertrand within, my God, these people of Avignon here are headstrong fools. Like all the provincial fold, I won't go through the town.
Bertrand, we'll round it, sire. And then, as soon as we get past the place, you must disguise for the remainder miles.
Napoleon, I'll mount the white cockade, if they invite me. What does it matter, if I do or don't? In Europe all is past, and over with me.
Yes, all is lost in Europe for me now.
Bertrand, I fear so, sire.
Napoleon, after some moments, but Asia waits a man, and who can tell?
Officer of guard, two postillions, ahead now at full speed, and slacken not till you have slipped the town. The postillions urge the horses to a gallop, and the carriages are out of sight in a few seconds. The scene shuts.
Scene via Malmaison. The Empress Josephine's bedchamber,
the walls are in white panels, with gilt moldings, and the furniture is upholstered in white silk with needle-worked flowers. The long windows and the bed are similarly draped, and the toilet surfaces of gold. Through the panes, appears a broad flat lawn adorned with vases and figures on pedestals, and entirely surrounded by trees just now in their first fresh green under the morning rays of Whitsunday. The notes of an organ are audible from a chapel below, where the Pentecostal Mass is proceeding. Josephine lies in the bed in an advanced stage of illness, the Abbe Bertrand standing beside her. Two ladies in waiting are seated near. By the door into the anteroom, which is ajar, Oro the physician in ordinary, and Berdois the consulting physician are engaged in a low conversation.
Oro, Lamauru says that leeches would have saved her had they been used in time, before I came. In that case, then, why did he wait for me?
Berdois, such wise are now too late. She is past all hope. I doubt if Odd had helped her.
Not disease, but heartbreak and repinings are the blasts that wither her long bloom. Soon we must tell the Queen Hortense the worst, and the Viceroy.
Oro, her death was made the easier task for grief, as I regarded more than probable, by her rash rising from a sore sick bed and donning thin and dainty May attire to hail King Frederick William and the Tsar's banquet guests in the old renowned style. A woman's innocent vanity, but how dire. She argued that amenities of state compelled the effort, since they had honored her by offering to come. I stood against it, pleaded and reasoned, but to no account. Poor woman, what she did or did not do, was of small moment to the state by then. The Emperor Alexander has been kind throughout his stay in Paris. He came down but yestereve, of purpose to inquire.
Berdois, Wellington is in Paris too, I learn, after his wasted battle at Toulouse.
Oro, has his peninsular army come with him?
Berdois, I hear they have shipped it to America, where England has another war on hand. We have armies quite sufficient here already, plenty of cooks for Paris broth just now. Come, call we Queen Hortense and Prince Eugene.
Excellent physicians. The Abbe Bertrand also goes out. Josephine murmurs faintly.
First lady, going to the bedside, I think I heard you speak, your majesty.
Josephine, I asked what hour it was, if dawn or eve. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.